Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest? Well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for listening. I just got off the line with author Linda Simmons. She's in Canada. She wrote a wonderful book called Island Girl, dealing with early onset dementia of her main character, and also Carol Steinberg from the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. They have a lot of wonderful services. You can reach out to them at alzfdn.org. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And right now I have on the line astrologer Samuel Reynolds. And I'm going to tune him in here. Good morning, Samuel.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. We're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Joy?
I am wonderful. Thank you for agreeing to do the show again.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, I think we had a great show. You had a lot of people who listened and obviously liked what you were saying. Last time Sam was on, we got in depth about the history of astrology and the meanings of different symbols and things of that nature. Just for those of you who don't know, Sam, why don't you tell them why you got involved in astrology?
Well, I was in Philadelphia at Temple University pursuing my PhD in African American Studies, and I was focused in on looking at dimensions of race, gender, and class. So that was my worldview. Even though I did have a spiritual background, I was tolerant of other forms of spirituality and the quote-unquote occult like tarot. I was very hard on astrology, and there are lots of reasons for that, but I had little patience for it. And I had a friend who was really into astrology, and I'm on the cusp, as they say, between Scorpio and Sagittarius. My birthday's Monday. So she was convinced I was a Scorpio. So if I had my druthers to pick between being a Scorpio and the glamorous centaur, I of course, chose centaur. So she was like, no, I think you're a Scorpio. So I happened to be looking for an occult book in a privately owned bookstore in North Philly. And the proprietor mentioned that he was an astrologer. So I said, this was my opportunity to actually get the reading and figure out which I was, and he quoted a reasonable price, and I went to him. And for the first 15 minutes, I thought it was complete gobbledygook. He wasn't telling me anything that he couldn't have deduced from looking at me, but then he started talking about my family dynamics between my mother and my father and my brother specifically, and it was with an amazing amount of detail. I actually think that was some kind of spiritual breakthrough that spirit was using him to get to me in that particular guise, because if he had said anything else, had focused on anything else, I wouldn't have.
You would have walked out. Yeah.
Or I would have. No, I wouldn't have walked out. I'm not rude. I probably would have just endured it and never gone back or had any interest. But when he started talking about the different details of my family dynamic, I was like, "How do you know that? You know, because I'm a Scorpio, so I of course value my secrets." So I was like, "How can you possibly know all these different things?" Looking at these squiggly lines, I actually did break out of character. My mother would not have been happy. And so he was like, oh, he got very avuncular and happy about it. He was like, no, you look here and you look at your Mercury and it's square to your moon, which, you know, a modern astrologer, a regular astrologer, wouldn't have seen it quite that way, actually. He had done the chart by hand, and some of his calculations actually were off. So it all served a greater purpose, ultimately.
Mm. Let me tell the people some of your qualifications real quick, some of your qualifications. You have a Master's of Arts degree from Temple University. You're a published poet and author. You are part of the National Council for Geocosmic Research Level 2. Explain that to the audience, exactly what that means, that you have a Level 2.
Level 3. So there are four levels.
Level 3 now, okay.
Right, yeah. There's a. Oh, yeah, I guess when I guess I... Yeah, I'm
last
level
time we
since
were all
on here. Okay, no. I've been level 3 since 2004, and it's the penultimate level before a level 4 full certification through the National Council for Geocosmic Research, which is an organized body of astrologers. And part of what they do is a certification program so that the astrologers who come out of that program know what they're talking about. Because there is no statewide, nationwide regulation with astrology. In fact, it is, quote-unquote, illegal to do fortune telling. That's why you'll see the ads from various newspapers on TV that says, for entertainment purposes only. And that's to spell out because a lot of people have come to believe, and this is actually from the 1700s, that there is no way to predict anyone's future, putatively, people who don't understand what astrology really does. So technically, it is illegal, but this body of astrologers regulate how astrologers really learn astrology to be able to talk about what astrology can offer. And it is far beyond predicting the future. A lot of people think, you know, tell me, am I going to meet my husband? Those things are important, but there's really a bigger issue at stake. So that's what the certification process is about.
So now, what does your family think about this endeavor? I mean, this is completely different than your normal train of thought, so to speak. What did your family and friends think about you getting into astrology?
That's a good question. No one's ever asked me that question before. really? No, seriously. Well, my family has been extremely tolerant of all the different twists and turns in my life. And you know, one thing you had mentioned, I mean, because I've been through a lot of different turns in, I guess, the short almost 43 years. You know, I started off as a child preacher, and from that I became an academic. You and I met when I was working as an actor and a poet, as you mentioned. In each one of those turns, when my mom was alive and my dad was alive, they both kind of like, well, that's just Sam. He's going to figure out whatever he's going to figure out and do whatever he wants to do. My father did come to know me as an astrologer before he passed in 2003, and he was also very supportive of it. And he was always curious about different ways of knowing about things. He did believe very much in the Bible, but not too much so that he couldn't see the value in other forms of knowing. Because he knew from numerology, he had worked with dream interpretation some. He knew a lot about a lot of different things. My mom did not get to see me as an astrologer. She knew about my interest in it, but she had studied the occult herself. In terms of my siblings, they're fine with it, you know. My sister won't give me her birth time, but and there's no one else to ask. But I think they're fine.
Oh, wow. Well, I know that there's some famous scorpions in the world. In one of your postings recently, you mentioned about Pablo Picasso, Martin Luther, and St. Augustine. Now, do you have any insights about Pablo Picasso being a scorpion?
Do you know
his birthday time?
Yeah, I think we do have his chart. I'll look it up right quick as I'm talking with you. But
what are some similarities that they share? Pablo, Martin Luther, St. Augustine, what are some similarities?
And that's a very good question. That's interesting because especially using those two, Picasso and Luther, they're very passionate, and I want to say more than just that. I mean, passionate in the sense of scorpions will go to the edge of the earth, literally, to know. They can get very much into this compelling need to really understand, and at times it can almost seem crazy. There's a certain pathology to it. And one thing that's remarkable about Luther is not only was he brazen enough to ultimately leave the church, but he really was concerned about dealing with the darkness within him, which is something that also Picasso wrestled with, was how do I really come to better understand myself? How do I really understand this darkness that seems to be within me? And so they both were compelled to different creative spaces to deal with that darkness. And for Luther, it came as realizing how grace could happen in his life, that he didn't have to flog himself, which is what he did. He didn't have to flog himself, and he didn't have to deal with indulgences and different things like that to to really experience God's grace. And for Picasso, it came through especially realizing that there's a multifaceted way of using a dynamic of darkness and light to see oneself, which is how we get cubism. You know, cubism
that's,
is really...
That's really interesting. You said that because George O'Keefe also was a scorpion. Are there a lot of artists that you find are scorpions or...
You will find artists or people who are concerned about looking at the deeper meaning of life, from Albert Camus. Billy Graham is another extreme of a Scorpio, who really, with his strong conviction and sense of belief, has, you know, been very influential in the evangelical world. Joe Biden's a Scorpio, as an example. You know, so everyone knows about his strong intensity and verve.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
No.
Well,
no.
Since you brought up Joe Biden, let's talk about politics a little bit. I mean, this past year has just been a real flip. People actually are amazed by the flip, but if people look historically at politics, Obama's not the first president that, you know, he had a house that was against him. Clinton, Reagan, they also dealt with similar issues. I think history is so important for people to read to know that this is not new and this is a cycle. How does astrology fit in that? Were there at those times, maybe when Reagan was dealing with issues and Clinton, I don't know if you want to say the stars are aligned in the same way? Is there some connection between astrology and these political things that are happening?
Absolutely. I mean, there's one thing I will say is that each time has its unique time stamp and also has its unique way of dealing with the stresses that might be affecting it politically. On top of that, we might, in that particular time, realize the severity of it to some degree. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, compared to Reagan and compared to Bush, both of them, and also compared to Clinton, Obama is facing a fracture of time, you know, looking at it astrologically, that very few presidents in America's history has faced.
How do you see that? I mean,
I'll get to that. It's not because he's the first black president. It's not, you know, a lot of people think like they just set up the black president just like that. It's not even. I don't even look at it like okay, he was set up, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm,
I'm looking at in terms of the time frame. There is something that has been activated now that we call the Cardinal Cross. And it's C-A-R-D-I-N-A-L, Cardinal Cross, and you can look it up online, where we have some very key instrumental planets, Uranus, Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn, in a configuration that makes for sharp and dramatic changes in what happens in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto has also come back, or is in Capricorn, for the first time in this nation's history from the time it's been founded. It was founded with Pluto in Capricorn. So it's a Pluto return, which has not happened for any other president before.
He's not, like you said, it's not because he's black or because he's young or because he's from Chicago or any of those things.
Chicago, right.
It's something beyond him that he may not even be aware of. But if he listens to the show and hears you talking, he'll know this.
Right. Or someone sends him the show. So he's in a profound time. He's in a profound time marked by serious challenges for the United States of America and the world, but in terms of what most people's interests may be, it's with the United States. And for the United States, this is a reckoning time. This is a reckoning time for some of the issues that were in play at the time of its founding. So I don't think it's a question of him being set up, but it is no accident that we have our first black president at the Pluto return, considering that 200 and so years before, we had enslaved Africans. That's no accident.
That's definitely significant. Definitely significant.
That's a reckoning point. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's
Obama's
not the most
a Leo. Does that have anything to do with it? No, that's not relevant.
No, I won't say it's irrelevant. It's not as relevant. It could have been, I blanked on his name, who was also running.
Do you think if he was a Pisces, or?
If he had been a Piscean, it still would be a significant time for that particular president. So he.
Well, you know, I'm a Pisces,
right.
So that's why I brought that up. You know,
that's fine.
Let me tell the audience. Samuel did a chart for me. A wonderful. I mean, it's so in depth about all different areas of my life, and that's one of the things that he can do. Now, people can people contact you? Do you want to give them your email?
Sure.
If they're interested in talking
yes.
to you more.
If you're interested in contacting me, it's return2thesource, all one word. return2thesource@gmail.com. return2thesource@gmail.com. If you want to see my blog website, you can go to the same spelling, return2thesource.com. And that way they can see what kind of readings I do, how, you know, what are the price ranges, what kind of services, all those different things are there at return2thesource.com.
Now, talking about Pisces, we talked about scorpions going to the end of the earth. What are some characteristics that you see are common with Pisces?
Oh, I could go, yeah. I could go on about Pisces.
Good things now, Samuel. Don't throw
in the
book.
Hey, I didn't just say good things about Scorpio. Should I spare Pisces? Why?
No,
well, here's
no.
the thing.
Okay.
They're the inner sanctum, the inner dimension of Jupiter. The planets reflect what we understand about the signs on Earth. And so Jupiter is about expansion. And so when we come to Pisces, we are dealing with expanding not just our understanding of the world, the external world, but the inner world. So it's a strong affinity toward understanding oneself, understanding karma. It is not uncommon for Pisces to have a certain almost implicit understanding that for every action, there's a reaction and that there's a consequence. So I find that Pisces are consistently concerned or come to be aware of karma. And so they want to go beyond a sense of their own fears, the things that have stopped them, and they're challenged with that to kind of push forward to realize beyond their fears, beyond their inhibitions, and to have a better appreciation of the whole world, of the cosmos, of the one. So there's a strong myth and interest in the unity of all things. For instance, the most notable Piscean, Albert Einstein, he, at the end of his life, struggled to find something called the unified theory of everything. And that was kind of the Piscean dream of finding the one. And that's not just literal in terms of finding one particular person, but the one of all things. So that's another powerful dynamic that happens. But
do you think the character in the Matrix is a Pisces? The one, when you say the one, that it made me think
Neo?
About the Matrix. Neo?
I don't know if what he literally was or what the filmmakers had in mind, but he definitely would fit that archetype of I have to kind of discover this vast universe within me.
Yes.
And the moment that I see the similarity between the universe within me and the universe without is a moment that I have this God power.
Right, that's true. Yeah, I think that, yeah, definitely, I agree with you.
So the Pisces.
Now you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
So the Pisces experiences that dynamic once they get attuned to that sense of who they are and not who they just think they are and how they've lived their life, whether it's 30 years or 40, 50, or however long. Once they realize who they are, the two fishes are not swimming in opposite directions, but they can swim together along one stream. But until then, the fish will continue to swim in opposite directions because they're dealing with the mystery of evolution and involution.
What's the biggest discovery you think you've made since studying astrology? Maybe about yourself or just about the world in general. What do you think your biggest,
Hello? Joy. Hello?
I
love your
great
questions. That's hot. The biggest discovery, because I love to ask people usually questions about what they learn from their job. So that's something I do frequently ask people. So what I've learned from studying astrology is that there are symbolic representations, and if you study them deep enough and you meditate deep enough and allow them to come into you, you do start to understand the patterns of the cosmos and the order and structure of things in a more profound way. So I've learned one key lesson for me is that there is an order to the cosmos. But the order is not just what you have been told or what
mm-hmm.
someone tells you. So there is a certain literal way that you first approach it, and then there becomes a deeper way that is beyond the literalism. It's similar to how people experience scripture. You know, sometimes, you know, when I was a minister, one thing I started to realize before I got out of it was there is the letter of the law, and then there's the spirit of the law. So I've come to appreciate
yes.
more the spirit beyond in astrology. A lot of people get trapped into the literalism. So they'll come to me like, well, I'm a Pisces. Well, no, your son was born in Pisces. That does not mean that you
yeah.
are just this crystallized single thing.
Yeah, because all
bad.
Pisces are not alike. I know other Pisces, they're not like me, and I'm not necessarily like them, but we do have similarities. And I think that
right.
is an important comp you made, the literal versus the spirit. I think if you want to talk about religions, that stops people from embracing different religions or different ways of viewing, because they're looking at the literal but not looking at the spirit behind the words. Or even the symbolism, and also the context of things, you know, the time and place that something happened, which is very important in astrology. I think in all areas of life, that's important for people to think about the context of when this is happening or how this is happening or who was there and things of that nature. But I think the spirit, if you look at the spirit of things, you might be able to embrace more in your life.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. You might enjoy life more because you'll be like, oh, wow, I didn't know the connecting points. And, you know, and also you won't be surprised as much because you'll know that there's this pattern happening, you know, reoccurrence. And like, okay, I knew that was coming down the pike because you'll be been here before. You know, I think that would help people. Now, if someone wanted to learn about astrology and they wanted to be like you when they grow up,
okay.
Where would they start? Where would they start? Their process. What is the first thing? What book would you suggest, or what store should they go to, or website would they go to?
Mm-hmm. Those are good questions too. I think the first thing I would say is it depends on what level they want to encounter astrology. So if they want to encounter astrology as to become literally like me or an astrologer, I do have a program that I offer that, and it's called the AstrologyCareerInstitute.com. So there is a program I offer where I have 17 CDs, 2 books, to help people learn the process of becoming an astrologer, to start the process. I don't take it as the final step, because there's no final step in my learning, but that's one place where they can start. Then beyond that point, if they're not interested in becoming a professional astrologer, just wanting to understand a little more about themselves, understand about
mm-hmm.
people around them. There are 2 books I recommend usually. One is Astrology, the Cosmic Science by Isabel Hickey. She is a great astrologer, was a great astrologer. She passed away some decades ago, but she has a fantastic book. It's one of my favorite books. It's like worn out from off my shelf. The new one.
Pages yellow now.
Yeah, exactly. And taped together. No kidding.
Oh, gosh.
And the other one is a book by Kevin Burke called Understanding Astrology, Understanding the Birth Chart. It is called Astrology, Understanding the Birth Chart, and it's by Kevin Burke.
I'm going to post information on the website. I'm going to post information, the 2 different books, and also that your AstrologyCareerInstitute.com, so that people know where they can go. And also mention your email address again for
no
people
problem.
Who want to reach out to you directly.
Okay. return2thesource@gmail.com.
Well, now we're ending this year. What do you what do you think we should learn from this past year in terms of the politics, you know, the people getting married, cheating, all these things? What do you think we need to learn from this past year, 2010?
Okay, well, first I'm going to reveal my political bias. I mean, I have some, believe it or not, I do have some conservative leanings, not too many of them. So I need to say that upright, I'm up front, I'm a progressive. That's how I would identify myself. So, and I don't think a lot of astrologers often talk about that. This form of astrology that I'm talking about, by the way, is called mundane astrology. And it talks about the mundane affairs of politics and of what's happening in economics. And so I think I'm going to start with what I think progressives need to realize as we're dealing with what's happening with our country. And realizing that we're just, the conservative movement, the right, is what's happening with the right is just getting started. We just want to, you know, belittle people and say, like, oh, they're just, you know, BS insane, and this is crazy, and thinking it will go away.
I don't think that you can't, no,
okay.
No, not at all.
Well,
yeah, I agree with you on that.
It will not, it is not going away. Because there are some deep-line fractures that are happening in this country that we need to get honest about. Pluto and Capricorn becomes a deep conversation talking about resources and how one deals with power and how who and what has power.
Wow.
So remember, the
that's a whole show, Samuel. That's a whole show. Resources and power.
Right.
We're going to have to set up a whole show about that. Just that
so
alone.
The reason why Obama is on the chopping block so much is because he is talking about the redistribution of wealth in this country. And, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, that's socialist. Well, this, no, it's survivalist. It's really trying to figure out, okay, we've lived mainly top to bottom for 200 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to happen to kind of create more of a level playing field of citizenry in what we call the United States of America? It's really life
or
death.
Do you think people want a level playing field? I mean, do you really think? I mean, there's
exactly.
a train of thought that there's a building for permanent underclass. That there
exactly.
is a system in place to keep people at underclass level.
Exactly. And so the country has to figure out, what are you going to be? There's some countries that are fairly clear or have been clear. We have either an aristocracy or we have had this caste system or we have had this particular thing in place. Now, when I say caste system, I'm not talking about India, which is one of the world's biggest democracies. I'm talking about other countries that have monarchies. So they're clear about having and maintaining an aristocracy. So the United
mm-hmm.
States has had its PR for over 200 years talking about having an equal distribution or representation among its citizenry. And one thing I'll give the Tea Party credit for is that they are saying a similar thing that was said again at the founding of this country about who is really represented. That's why they
yes.
call themselves the Tea Party.
Yes.
After the Boston Tea Party, after the question what started the revolution, Pluto and Capricorn, about who has the resources and who has the power.
See, that's important, going back to what I said earlier about knowing our history and that this is not the first time we are here. You know, this is not the first time we are here at this moment in time with these types of activities occurring. And also, like Samuel said, they are not going to go away. I want to thank you so much, Samuel, for coming on the show this morning. We have to close the show today, but we got to come back about the resources and the power. That's
okay,
a really
that sounds good.
Wonderful,
phone,
wonderful show.
And my phone is fading, so I guess it's like right on time.
Oh.
Well,
thank you so much, Samuel, for coming on the
you.
Show. I want to mention your email address again is return2thesource@gmail.com. Also, you can check out his website, return2thesource.com, to learn more about Samuel, his blog there, his Astrology Career Institute. I'm going to be posting these on my website here, but you guys can reach out to him at return2thesource@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Samuel, for coming on the show this morning. I think we just lost him. I think his phone just went dead. Well, everybody else, thank you for listening this morning. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan of the show Saturday mornings with Joy Keys. Just look us up on Facebook. Next week, two wonderful shows happening November 27th. Author, playwright, poet, Pearl Cleage. Please tune in for that. That's at 11 a.m. Eastern. At 11:30, I'm going to have two wonderful guests, activist, author, politician, Kevin Powell. Young black male doing a lot of great things. And he is featured in a film called Bring Your A Game. Bring Your A Game deals with what's going on with African American males in America today and what they can do to get over the hump. There are a lot of wonderful athletes, politicians, activists, ministers, therapists featured, all black men featured in this film called Bring Your A Game. And the producer, Karen Williams, will be on next Saturday, November 27th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show. Just want to let you know that we are up to 38,000 downloads of the podcast, more than 38,000 downloads, and I want to really thank you so much for supporting the show. Again, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, you can email me directly, saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Again, that's saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Questions, concerns, suggestions, please reach out. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful upcoming Thanksgiving gobble gobble. Lots of turkey and cranberry sauce. So I hope you have a lot of wonderful memories and family moments next week. You have a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful week.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Manley. It takes hard work to come from behind and win, but I did it skating for Canada at the Calgary Olympics. Now I'm asking you to join the hard fight against Alzheimer's disease. Soon this disease will move into the next generation, affecting more than 1 million of us and devastating our families and healthcare systems. Please raise your voice. Tell politicians that fundamental change to research funding and care delivery is needed. Tell them Canada needs a national strategy on dementia.
Find out how at alzheimer.ca or your local Alzheimer's Society.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's been sitting around here for a week. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. It's called A1C, a simple blood test that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. To find out more, go to www.diabetesa1c.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.